Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today's episode is a little bit different than what you're used to hearing because I don't have Mark with me today, but I am joined instead by a dear, dear friend, Jen Roland. Hi, Jen.
Hey.
She will introduce herself in a little bit, but before that, I just have a few things to share. So what we are talking about today is being on mission in motherhood, and we're talking about motherhood because we're both moms, but I really think that a lot of the stuff we talk about today will be relevant to just parenthood in general. So keep that in mind as you listen. Okay, so how Jen and I met, it was about 5 years ago in a Bible study, and we've just become great friends since then. But what's interesting about when we met 5 years ago is that I actually walked in late to this Bible study. I wasn't supposed to go to this particular one. I had signed up for a different one, but changed my mind and went into this one. And I was scanning the room to try to figure out where to sit. And I don't remember who spoke first, but like our eyes kind of met and we're like, wait, we know each other. Yeah. Like, I know you. And so anyway, we come to realize that we had worked at slash gone to the same college 6 years before that. Yeah. So it was just so neat how the Lord kind of brought us back together in that Bible study and how he has just, created this friendship that where we just do life together and we talk about Jesus and we talk about life and we spur one another on towards Christ. So, you know, Jen and I, we're just these two imperfect people who are trying to follow Jesus as best we can. And we've done life together. We've done these things and done life together over the past 5 years. And mom life has been part of that. And like I said, that's going to be the main focus of our chat today, being on mission and motherhood. But before we dive into that any further, Jen, if you don't mind, I'd like you to share a little bit about yourself. And as part of that about yourself piece, if you don't mind briefly sharing some of your experiences with the church and with Jesus as you were growing up and sort of how you got to the point you are now, which is loving and following Jesus.
Yeah, well, first I want to say thank you for saying the word imperfect, because as I was thinking about this topic and how I really do apply it to my family, I was thinking, wow, I hope people don't think that I have this down pat or that this is coming easy to me or natural to me or it just goes swimmingly all the time. So first I want to start off by saying that I'm not necessarily a professional in this area, but have been on mission in motherhood for, well, my oldest is 7 years old. So yes, my oldest is 7. I have another child who's 4. Yes, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a wife to Mike, mom to Mason and Olivia. My background is actually in exercise physiology, and I love helping people with their health, and I love talking to them about Jesus, anyone who will listen. and yes, I did grow up in the church, and I actually, after a couple of negative experiences, chose to walk away from the church at age 14. I did take about a 15-year hiatus, but what's really cool is that I feel like the Lord kept me close. For reasons that I have no idea why. I would, you know, randomly read Christian books in college, or I had Christian music on my iPod, which tells you how old I am. and then I got involved in a nutrition business, and they really talked a lot about God, and they read books about him. And so after, you know, reading some books that they had recommended to me, I felt really convicted to get back in the church. And yeah, that was almost 6 years ago now.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that, Jen. So it's just so neat how the Lord works. And, you know, he was working in your heart and working on you during that, what'd you say, 15-year hiatus? Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. So fun. Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned something about being imperfect, and I can't remember your exact words, but we don't have this all figured out. And I just wanted to touch on that as we begin this conversation about motherhood. It is important that everyone understands we are no experts in this parenting gig. We are just two parents who are striving to parent in light of the gospel, two parents who fail a lot. I'll speak for myself. I think you would agree, Jen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're nodding your head. Yeah. Who fail a lot. But two parents who try to do their best to learn from those failures and make changes from that. And so We're also just two parents, two moms who are hoping that the experiences and the resources that we share with you today help you in some way in your own parenting journey or motherhood journey. So that's where we're at. We're hoping this is helpful and just making sure everyone understands we don't have it all figured out. Yeah. We're not experts. Okay, so as Jen mentioned, you know, she's a mom of young kiddos and I am as well. And as we've mentioned so far many times, I feel like more importantly than that, we are both believers in and followers of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have a specific job to do. And I'm going to take us to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this right here is called the Great Commission, and this is our mission. This is why we're here. This is what we are to do. So moving on from that, Jen, let's chat a little bit about what it means to be on mission in motherhood. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it just means, you know, putting God first. And really, I mean, the great commission that you just read, being intentional about that in your family life. So you are bringing Jesus into your days, his commands, his character, over maybe your own agenda or over what's popular, what's trending.
That's good.
So it's really knowing who he is, what he says, what he wants, and how he's designed families to be. And then the why, how to live as a family in one house. And I tell my family this all the time, you know, learning how to love each other well inside our home so that we can go out and love others.
Yes, that's good.
And then creating that as a dynamic and the norm in your family.
Yeah, that's good. One thing you said made me think of like quivers or arrows in the quiver, mm-hmm. which I had written down to talk about, but and you didn't know that, but you said how we practice, you know, these things in our home and loving each other within the walls of our own home. Well, so then we can go out and do that to others as well.
Yes.
And if we look at Psalm 127 verses 4 and 5, it talks about children being like arrows in a warrior's hands and blessed is the man who has many of them in his quiver or something mm-hmm. like that. I can't remember the rest of that. But if we think about that picture, you know, what do warriors do with arrows? That they shoot them, right? They mm-hmm. send them out. Mm-hmm. And so we as parents, as moms, are preparing our children to be sent out into the world, to be a light for Jesus in this dark world. Mm-hmm. And so our mission of discipleship must happen right within the walls of our own home, just like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And not that it shouldn't extend beyond that, right? I mean, we're called to go and make disciples. So right. We need to go and do that as well. But we can't neglect discipling those little ones running around, you know, under our feet and sometimes attached to our hips or, you know,
exactly.
We have to remember them.
Yeah.
One other thing, because we're talking about sort of discipling our kiddos as part of our mission, is I wanted to define disciple. I wanted a good definition of it. And so one of my go-to places is Got Questions. Jen, I think you use that mm-hmm. website quite a bit. And we've talked about it here on the podcast a lot. But, and I will link to this in the show notes as well. But, you know, by definition, a disciple is more than just a learner or more than just a student. It's a follower. Okay, so a follower is, if we look at a Christian disciple or a Christian follower of Jesus, then that's a person who accepts and helps in the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in order for them to do that, we have to do that, you know, share Jesus within the walls of our own home, you know, so they're equipped to go out and do that.
Yeah, and you know what I have read recently even more along those lines is that really there's no one person, no church, no youth group, no Awana group, no anything, no friend even that they have that's going to impact them more in their relationship with Jesus and the likelihood that they are going to be mm-hmm. followers of Christ as adults than parents inside the home.
Yeah, that's good.
And the statistics on that, I don't have them written down, but are, you know, kind of scary, you mm-hmm. know, when you think about all the things that we do with our family and church is very important. You know, we belong to an awesome church. Awana is awesome. We love our Awana group, you know, yes. all these things. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the amount of kids actually do walk away from the church is a lot, you know, if they don't have that foundation, or if at home the parents are not, you know, trying to cultivate that in them.
Yeah, very good point. Because I think a lot of times if we are involved in a church or in a youth group or in a Christian school, even if we have our kids involved in all these things, then we just think that Jesus part is going to be taken care of there. And then we can kind of not worry about it at home. But that's obviously not the case. And research is even showing that. That's interesting. Okay. So let's move on to our next question, number two. Jen, why is being on mission in motherhood important?
Well, because God said.
He's our and father, moving right? on, number three.
Yeah, because he said so. It's like a parent, right? Because I said so.
Yeah.
He is our father, right? No.
That's right.
Yeah, seriously, though, that is a commandment from God who created me. He gave me my family. He provided his word so that I would know what to do with them, right? And so as followers of Jesus, our Bible is our guide. It's the blueprint. So just like any parent, he knows best. So I'm reading what he says. It's important to do what he's saying, right? But even with all of that, you know, I may not know fully all the reasons why right now, but one that I do know, and you kind of touched on this a little bit already. I was chuckling because some of the things that the homework that you did is very similar to the homework that I did, of course, but we didn't know that, is that we must help our children armor up with the truth and God's word so that they will stand firm against the evil, as Ephesians 6:11 says. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, they are going to go out from underneath our roof. And so really the time that we have with them is short, but very critical, to help shape their thoughts, their attitudes, their beliefs. And that's just a job I take very seriously.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Yeah.
That's great. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. What does it look like to take this mission seriously in our homes, and how do we bring Jesus into our homes? So, Jen, though, before you answer that, I do want to set this up a little bit. So correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm kind of telling part of your story, but your answer to this question, right, how do we bring Jesus into our home, is likely much different today, your answer today, than what it would have been 3 to 5 years ago. Because when you started out parenting, you were just beginning to come back in the church. And that's when we met at that Bible study, right? You were just starting to come back. Okay. And, you know, you were starting to read your Bible. I remember you saying, I have this ancient thing. I don't even know what to do. Where do I start reading? Do I start the beginning? Like, it doesn't make sense. And, you know,
yeah, so you, and you just, said, yeah. You know, it's always been recommended to me that you start in the book of John.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, done. This Bible study was worth the $5 I paid. Like, I can go home.
That's right. Yeah.
Just tell me how to read the Bible.
That's so, I do remember that. That's so funny. You know, so you were just starting to get serious about Jesus, and your husband wasn't so sure at that point. He wasn't a believer and a follower of Jesus. He was not, what would you say, not opposed to it or strongly opposed, but he was like, you know, I need to see what's going on here.
Yeah.
So he wasn't saved at that time. But if you fast forward to today, you know, not only have you grown so much in your faith, but praise the Lord, your husband is also now a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I imagine in that season, you know, 3 to 5 years ago versus this season now, I imagine being on mission and bringing Jesus into your home through parenting has looked very different in each of those seasons. So as you answer this question, you know, what does it look to take this mission seriously in our homes and bring Jesus in to our homes? Can you kind of talk about that a bit in your answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it does look different today. And I think that's normal, though, you know, whether both parents are on the same page or not. I don't want anyone to be discouraged by that. I think that I was, you know, even though whenever I first started, because Mike and I did not start our marriage as followers. We didn't start parenting as followers of Jesus. So I changed the game a little bit. And yes, he was a little skeptical, but, he was a good sport. I think he was open to hearing about this, like, Jesus fella and what he was up to and what he was all about. I do think that even though in the beginning he was not necessarily a follower, you know, I had a huge opportunity because I stay at home. I'm able to do most of the daily parenting anyway. And so, you know, he's always been one, he's just a very supportive person in general and a great, you know, husband and dad. So yeah, he never really put up a fight. He never made it hard for me, but I will say, I do have more of an answer to this, but I will just say, I mean, you just have to pause and give God all the glory here. Yeah. And I will not cry at all, I promise, on this podcast. But but it is, it still amazes me to this day, a couple years later, you know, he is saved now and he's accepted Jesus and he follows. And it's still amazing to me to see his walk and to see him interacting with our kids. And you know, if you think that it was great before or it's good or whatever, when you see your husband, you know, love your kids and love you with Christ's love and when you are on the same page, it is just, I mean, it's better than you can ask or imagine. And that's what God promises. So
I'll just say that it's been a joy and an honor really to be able to be alongside you in this journey. You know, Mark and I were there before and then we're here now too. So we kind of got to see this transformation in Mike as well.
And a lot's gone down in your house, you know, like, you know, Mike was asked to accept Jesus into his heart during one of your at-home Bible studies. And he said, no, And yeah, we've all, you know, been patient. I don't want to say that I have patience down either, because there were a lot of prayers being sent up on his behalf. You've been a great, I mean, you both have been great friends and helped us tremendously on our spiritual journey. But for sure, you know, I think that Mike would agree.
Thank you.
So what does it look like to take it seriously in our homes? I think that, you know, it can look a number of ways. I don't want to say that like my way or our way, you know, is the only way. But you know, in general, what we're doing is we are filtering what we do, how we spend our time, what we say, you know, through God's word and the gospel. So what it's not, you know, sometimes it's almost easier to say what it's not. It's also not necessarily what's popular or what's trending. You know, I've had to answer the question, well, so-and-so gets to do this, why can't I? You know, what the news says, social media, or even sometimes what your friends are doing. Sometimes what your friends are doing is just not okay for your family. And that's okay. It doesn't mean we love them any less. It just means that that's not what you're doing. So, you know, take into consideration what we're watching, what we read, what we listen to, what we say, and then of course, how we, you know, treat one another.
That's good, Jen. You know, we have to teach our children all about God's word, all about Jesus. And, you know, that's what I hear you saying there. And it's reminding me of just living out Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And I'll read that for everyone, but let me kind of set it up first. So what's going on here is that the Lord had just given Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and Moses was coming down from there after getting the Ten Commandments. And so when he got back down, he told the people of Israel the commands that the Lord had given him. And so that's where I'm going to pick up the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders." That makes me chuckle. "Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So that kind of leads me into our next question, which is, okay, you know, what does it practically look like to bring Jesus into our home? So what are things, you know, we could do right now? What does that look like, practically speaking?
Well, now I'm going to start writing it on somebody's forehead. I'll write something on Mason's forehead and send him to school. But you know what that did remind me of that I hadn't thought of before now, though, is when you said write it on the doorpost. So a fun, quick story. Mason and his little buddy in first grade, I guess they had some free time in class and they were coming up with this plan. It was around Christmas time and they wanted to write the word or the name Jesus really big on these pieces pieces of paper and they wanted to put it on their door. And so that their whole plan was whenever someone was driving by, if they didn't know Jesus, they would stop and ask, who is Jesus? That was their
sweet
plan.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that so funny? I mean, that's exactly what they did.
This is where we will stop for today, but next week we will pick right back up where we left off and we will discuss this question in quite a bit of detail, practical ways that we can bring Jesus into our homes and just teach our children all about him. And then there will be a couple of other questions that we will discuss as well. So we hope you will join us again next week.